Have your Bibles and care to follow along this morning. I'll direct you to the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, to the very end of that chapter, as it is divided off. The beginning of this chapter, Paul is writing to the Hebrew church, to the Hebrew brethren, and he's telling them some things related to God's long suffering with them. And what he's telling them in so many words is there come a point in time when God's long suffering from you will end, and that you will not be able to repent. We discussed a few weeks ago that what repentance is and how you get it. You don't just wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to repent today. If you repent, you're either given to it, you're drawn to it, or you have been some way given to that by God.
Right.
And Paul's saying there could come a point in time when you can't repent. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts. We're not talking about the unregenerate. The unregenerate have never ever tasted of the heavenly gifts. There could come a point in time when they cannot renew themselves again to repentance. So this is a strong warning that Paul tells to the New Testament church. Warning which is still applicable to us today. But then he moves on from that and he transitions in from that to talk about Jesus. About the better covenant that those Jews had. And he starts with Abraham. And he says in verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, speaking about a promise, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. That's the end of the conflict, the oath that's given, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, the unchangeableness of his will, confirmed it by an oath. So that, and I'm adding the word so that by two unchangeable things, two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Well, what are the two unchangeable things? His oath and his covenant and his will. That we might have a strong comfort, a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and that hope which entereth into that within in the veil, which whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. And he's telling us there who that hope is. That hope is Jesus. But what I want to back up here for just a moment is look at those three words. To you who have fled for refuge. You who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope. What is a refuge? If we go back to the old English. A refuge is a shelter or a protection from danger or trouble. It's that broad. A shelter or a protection from danger or trouble. And he tells us what our refuge is here. I appreciate several weeks ago, Brother Jerry Thomas said, if you ever have on your mind to try to preach to us about the six cities of refuge found in the Old Testament, Lord might give you liberty on that. Well, I've tried to pray about it, and Lord willing, this morning, that's what I want us to consider. In fact, I appreciate that, brethren. I want to say this publicly. If there's ever something that you have on your mind that you would like to hear preached about, I'm not saying I can. I'm not saying I'm able to. I would never be that presumptuous, but if you would want to make that known to me, I would be open to anything you ever want to say. I'm not saying I'll be able to, But I would appreciate your communication in that regard. Anyway, Brother Jerry mentioned that, so I've had it on my mind, been trying to meditate about what this is, about what the six cities of refuge. Did you know that Israel had six cities of refuge? And it's something that's most unique. It wasn't found anywhere else in Scripture, and it was given to God's people in the infancy of the kingdom, when God had set them up and given them a land to possess that He took away from somebody else and gave it to them because He loved them. Right. Isn't that amazing? God says, there's some people living over there right now, Moses and Israel. There's some people living over there right now. And you're going to have to fight for that land. You're going to have to go over there and possess it. But I'm telling you, you're going to win. Same thing He tells us today. Same thing. This is not a picture of eternal heaven, by the way.
Right.
And the reason we know that is because there were battles that had to be fought.
Right.
They had to be fought and they had to be won. It was never a laydown. It had to be contended with. There had to be conflict that was there. But God had promised to His people, you're going to win, but you're going to have to fight. That, you know, that almost seems a contradiction, doesn't it? You're going to have to fight, but you're going to have to win. Well, brother, that's what this life is all about. You and I got one battle after the other. And if we have a victory in it, He gave it to you. Whatever victory you and I have today, whatever you and I are blessed with today, He gave it to you. But you know what? This victory that we have, that we can look back on and see, yes, God was with me in that. Don't take your breath, you know, take a breather for just a minute because you're fixing to have some more battles. We're not going to be done with those battles till we leave the port. We're going to have one battle after the other. So don't become disheartened. They were the same way. They'd be given a battle and they'd have the victory and then move on and here come another one. They got another conflict they're going to have to endure. That's the nature of the life that we're in. As we battle evil and Satan and even our own flesh that is within us. That conflict is everywhere around us. But God had promised them that they were going to, He was going to give them the land. And the question then becomes, what are you going to do? What are you going to set up with what I've given you so that you can live in this land that I've promised to you? This land of Israel, this land of later, which would be a Judah. So how are y'all going to live there and what kind of society are you going to have? Now these are God's precepts that are laid out. And we go to the book of Numbers. I'm going to spend some time here in the 35th chapter of the book of Numbers. And God has been speaking to Moses and to Israel about how this is to lay out and about their judicial process and about how they were to deal out equity according to the law among God's people. You know, there were the 12 tribes of Israel. And there was one tribe which was the tribe of the Levites, the sons of Levi. And to them who were the heirs of Aaron, to them was given the duty to be the priests. They were the ones that were to keep the temple, to have the rites of the law, and to them were the ones that were given temple the charge of temple worship. They were the only tribe of the 12 that were not given land. They had no land in order to till and to take care of. But rather than being given land, they were given something. They were given a total of 48 cities. There were 48 in the Old Testament, 48 Levitical cities. And these were cities that the Levites, the priests, ruled over. And they lived there, and everything that came out of those cities was given for their livelihood, so that they could live with them and their families, and so that they could carry on and continue, and it was exclusively and 100% theirs. And out of these 48 cities, there were going to be some cities that were even going to be set out from that, and they were going to have a special designation. And that's what we're going to get to here in just a second. So if you'll turn with me to the 35th chapter of the book of Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plain of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. And ye shall also give to the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for their beasts. And the suburbs of their cities which they shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits round about. Now not only does Moses write to us and tell him what God says, he gives us even the dimensions of what these cities are supposed to be, these 48 cities that were here. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, the west 2,000, north 2 side, and the city shall be in the midst, and it shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 out of the 48, there shall be 6 cities of refuge. In fact, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, how this is laid out, and that this comes literally from God Himself, so that Israel might be ruled over with equity and with judgment which comes from God. You say, well, Brother Jerry, it sounds like to me what you're doing here is you're just giving me a history lesson. Well, that's part of it. No question that history is part of it. But there's something more important here than a history lesson. The thing that's important here, so that you and I can see and understand and rejoice in how this relates to you and I today. What's that got to do with the price of tea in China, as they say? What's this got to do with me today? Well, we're going to get there, Lord willing. This is not just a history lesson. This is laying the groundwork for what God had given here. And by the order and command of God, these 48 cities out of which were chosen, and there were to be 6 cities of refuge. And we've already determined what refuge is. A refuge is a place. A refuge is a hiding place. A refuge is a shelter from trouble. A protection from the storm. A place that we might have to seek from time to time. There shall be 6 cities of refuge which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them you shall add 42 cities. Now, according to Numbers, the first thing that was picked out, in fact, I gave this backwards from what it was. I says there were 48 cities given, and there were 48 cities given total. But according to this, they gave the 6 cities a refuge first, and then they gave the 42, which was the balance. So the one of the most preeminence was the 6 cities of refuge that were of a specific purpose to God's people. It's an amazing thing, God giving to His people all of the things that they needed for a society in that day and age. We go to the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, we find that Moses had appointed judges among God's people. judges to handle the matters that would come up of legal conflicts on any level. And he had told those judges, Moses had, he had picked out these men who were of wisdom and right and upright and knowledgeable and of moral strength. And he says, the decisions that you make will be final. There will be no appeal. And the decisions that you make will be the decisions that we will rely on for the society that we live in as Jews. He says, but there's going to come a time for you, brethren, Jews that have been appointed, there's going to come up before you from time to time a hard case. There's going to come a time that there's going to be a case for which you are baffled, for which you don't have the answer. You ever have a case in your life that it just seems like I don't have an answer for this? It's just more of them than there are of us. And there's a case too hard for us. And I love these words. Moses tells them, he says, and for the case that's too hard for you judges, bring it to me. Bring it to me. And I will hear it. You know who your Moses is today? You know that your Moses, in the cases that are too hard for you today, Lord, I don't have an answer for this. I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to go to the left or to the right. I don't know what to do. He tells us, the thing that's too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I'm going to encourage you very strongly in that, in the things of our lives today for which we don't have an answer and we don't know what to do, may we be as a Jehoshaphat. Lord, there's more of them than there are of us. We're outnumbered. There's more enemy than there are of us. And we don't know what to do. But what was the final disposition of that? But our eyes are upon Thee. That's a good place to be fixed on. Having our eyes upon the Lord. Because that's the one we take our case to. Our eyes are upon the... And you know that God gave him the victory? God gave them the victory. Lord, our eyes are upon you. So these six cities of refuge were ordained by God of his people that they could be for the manslayer. This is very interesting. This concept of manslaughter. We thought that's a modern day term that's only in our society today. You know, we know what manslaughter is. Manslaughter is due to an act of negligence or an act that occurs where someone dies and there's got to be death. An injury would not suffice for it. If you get in a car wreck today and we were careless in the operation of our vehicle in an extreme or a gross manner and someone were to die as a result of that, then we could possibly, according to our legal system today, we could be charged with or we could be found guilty of manslaughter. Someone died. The same back right here. The six cities of refuge were given to God's people for that purpose. Now, I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. Back up to six. And among the cities which thou shalt give to the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he, the manslayer, may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. So the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities, them shall ye give with their suburbs, and the cities ye shall give unto them shall be the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have given many, ye shall give many, but from them that have few, ye shall give few. Everyone shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance which he inheriteth. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel and say, when you come over to Jordan into the land, you shall appoint these cities for cities of refuge, that the slayer may flee thither which killeth any person at unawares. For they shall be unto you cities of refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he shall stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities shall ye give six cities which shall be for refuge, three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities on the other side of Jordan. So we find here that he has laid this out in terms of this promise that these cities for refuge would be given to God's people, that the manslayer might flee to. According to Jewish law of the day, if I kill someone for any reason, the avenger of blood would be the nearest family member that would have the right to go and to revenge that death. And to take a life for a life. And the cause was not under consideration. All they knew was that this person had died. But these six cities of refuge that were given here were given to God's people, and they were strategically placed. Go with me to Joshua chapter 20. And we're fixing to find here the names of the cities. And we're fixing to find the location of these cities. And something that's very interesting, which will be into where they are laid out. We really see here a repeating of all of the things that have been laid out before. But verse 7 tells us a different perspective. Verse 7 says, and they appointed, these are the six cities of refuge, and they appointed Kedesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjathaba, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah, and on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, and on the east side of the river, they assigned Bezer and Ramoth, and Golan. So you have three cities on either side of the Jordan River, so that every child of Israel, every one of the Israelites, would be within a relative close proximity to a city of refuge. I think that's interesting that they were placed in such a manner there, so that God's people who were in need of refuge could flee to that city. Let's go back to what manslaughter was. The child of God, the child of Israel that was there in that day, that would be guilty of taking another life, if he would flee to that city, then he would be safe there in that city until he could be brought to trial in that city. And a trial would be held. Now, if he would be guilty of murder, that's a different story. He would be bound over and his life would be required of him. You know, the difference, though, between murder and manslaughter relates to one thing here, and it's the same thing that we can understand today. It's premeditation. If someone committed a premeditation of murder, then that's not manslaughter. It wasn't an accident. You know, we've witnessed that here locally in the last few weeks, where this young man, it appears, is being tried for First degree murder on four counts, such a sad case. And included in what he has done is the fact that he premeditated, he committed these crimes aforethought. And he planned them out. That's not manslaughter. So that he possibly could receive the death penalty as a result of that if found guilty. So we see that manslaughter would be in case of an accident having occurred of some kind where there was no premeditation. I didn't intend to kill that person, but an accident occurred either through negligence or for some other reason. So that's how that unfolded. So that God's children are there, and they're given this city for refuge. And should he not be found, should he be found guilty of manslaughter and not murder, then that man was to remain in that city that he had fled to for refuge, and he will stay in that city until the high priest died. Till the man who was the high priest over that Levitical city, until his death, and then he would be free to return wherever he came from. You see, brethren, with sin, there's got to be a payment of blood. There's got to be a payment of death. And even with the death of the high priest, there was in his death an atonement. If that man were to be found not guilty of murder and guilty of manslaughter, and he were commanded to stay in that city of refuge, and he were to leave that city of refuge before the high priest died, and he were to be caught, he could be put to death. Even though he was not guilty of murder, but of manslaughter, because he had not followed the rules of God, that there is no freedom without the death of the high priest. I'm going to tell y'all something. As we read the Old Testament, and we look at the unfolding of God's plan. Do you know that the coming of Jesus Christ is the most logical, it's the most reasonable thing that has ever occurred? A blind man can see it. Do you know that you're not free until your high priest is dead? And that if we try to do it on our own, we're guilty. But if the high priest dies, you're free. You can go. That's why that hymn that we have in our book just rings so true. Come, thou long expected Jesus. The coming of Jesus Christ into the world was the most logical and the most reasonable and the most foreseen thing that occurred all through God's Word. He's as much in the Old Testament as he is the New. Can you see the six cities of refuge? And who do you see shining through on all of that? Jesus. That's our Jesus. And when that high priest died, he was free. He could go. And these cities were located all throughout Israel so that every man had within close proximity to him a place that he could flee to. You know, it's the same way today with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go over to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans and we find that Paul is writing there to his Roman brethren. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be delivered. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." What's he telling us there? These are God's people. I see within them the fact that they are children of God, but they're living ignorantly.
Right.
So he goes forth in that same chapter, and what does he tell them? He says, the word is nigh unto you. What's he saying? The word is near you. A city of refuge was near them. They were not far from a place of refuge. That place that we today can seek in the midst of trials. Don't y'all love that hymn written by Charles Wesley? Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. The story on the writing of that hymn was this Englishman who was walking on the shore one day, and there was in England, the sun never shines. It's always cloudy and overcast and gloomy, and the seas were billowing on the beach. And he was walking there, and there was this bird fluttering in the wind, and it was, you know how cross currents are with wind sometime, and a bird would get caught in it, and the bird didn't know where to go, and he was standing there watching that bird in trouble. Yeah, he was standing there. And observe again, that bird flew straight for him into the middle of his coat. And he was able to write, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. What's the rest of that hymn? Other refuge have I none. Do you know that we don't have anywhere else to go? That's all we have. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, oh, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. Is that your experience? Is that what you cry to God? Is that your refuge? That's our God. David told us in the Psalms, some men trust in horses. Some men trust in chariots. You know, there's a lot of people I know today, and that's their experience. Their bank account is what they have confidence in. My 401k, I mean, that's where it's at. My bank account, my money, and which is a blessing of God. I'm not minimizing that at all. It's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing of God to have. But so many times, God's people, those who are heaven bound, they put their confidence in the wrong things. My dad used to have a man that he did business with, and he was a brilliant mind. He was a CPA. And he told us, he says, I just thank the Lord that God has given me this mind where I can reason through things. And I can see things, but his confidence in that ability overwhelmed him. So that ultimately he lost sight of the giver of the blessing, and the confidence became in the mind itself. We can see that happening so many times in so many lives. We begin to worship the creation rather than the creator. And it happened in his circumstance. You know how he ended up? He ended up in a nursing home with Alzheimer's. Where was the mind? Gone. It's gone. Some men trust in horses. Some men trust in chariots. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Is that your refuge? That's our refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those six cities that were there, they're no more. You know, it's amazing when I read those cities. Those names, if you're familiar, excuse me, if you're familiar at all with modern-day current events in the Middle East and in Israel, all those names, we've heard them before. Golan, the Golan Heights, Shechem, Hebron. All of those places are there today. But as a city of refuge, are they any longer there? No. Oh, that's in a bygone era. But what's that been replaced with? Brethren, that's been replaced with another refuge. It's the really, you know, we say there's six cities of refuge. And there are six in history, but do you know that in reality there were as a total of seven? Which is a complete number. And do you know what the seventh city of refuge is? That's what Paul was telling us there in Hebrews chapter 6. For you who have fled for refuge. To those six cities? No. To you who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Go with me to the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Excuse me, it's the next to the last. It's chapter 33. Moses, this is Moses' benediction. This is the last thing we hear from Moses. Moses has given a prophecy of each of the tribes of Israel. As to who they would be, what they would do, their weaknesses, their strengths. And finally, he wraps it all up. And he knows what's fixing to happen. Most beautiful benediction in Scripture. Look what he says, verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. There's no God like our God, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone, and the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down. Blessed art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord? That's Moses' benediction, his final parting words. And what does he tell us? That our God is our refuge. He is the one that we flee to in time of trouble, in time of trial. This same Jesus in the book of Isaiah was prophesied of in the 32nd chapter. Let's look at these words. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place or refuge from the wind, and a covert from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place, and as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Y'all know what a covert is? You know, I used to read that word, and I said, what means a covering? Doesn't. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. A covert, brethren, is the feathered covering of a wing in the joint. Right here. Not right here. Right here. Where God would place His beloved. This is the place, brethren, of most protection. Right here. Underneath the arm. And underneath are His everlasting arms. This is the covert right here. That's what we can flee to, brethren. That is our place of refuge from the storms that we face. And it's all in Jesus. It's all about Him. He is the one who we look to. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and as a covert from the tempest, and rivers of water in a dry place, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them shall see, that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken, and the heart of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. So this is the prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, He's the one we flee to. He is that rock that we're able to go to in times of distress and in times of trouble. And those six cities were there so that God's children could be protected in the case of an accident. And they would have to stay there until the high priest died. All these things point toward Jesus. You know, it's an amazing thing. Jesus was walking after His crucifixion. He was walking there with His brethren. And Scripture, I believe it's in Luke, and He says, and He took the Scriptures out and explained to them Him in all of the Scripture. I think He went through all of Scripture and He found instances. He said, this is Me. This is Me. All of these things were Him, Brother Walton. So that you and I today have a great high priest. And He is our refuge. He is our hiding place. You know, I mentioned a few weeks ago about Anne Frank. And about how I didn't realize that they and their family, I thought they were Dutch. They were Germans. They were Germans who had fled Germany and had taken up residence as Jews in that day in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam. And they had a place where they were hiding. It was their place of refuge. But you know, ultimately it failed. They failed. They were turned in. And they came and took the whole family away. And that hiding place failed. And the hiding places of man today, they fail. But brethren, if that's all I had to offer to you today, this would be a pretty bleak message. But the hiding place, the refuge that I have to give to you and offer, not give to you, but to hold up before you today, is one that will never fail. What Moses say, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That's Jesus. Brother Brantley, that will see us through all of our trials. We don't know how it's going to come out, any of our lives, to the left nor to the right, but our eyes are on Thee. And we realize that whatever we're given, it's a blessing of God. And that's in all of our conditions, because we're all Abrahams, we're all tent dwellers, we're all going to be here just a little while. Y'all, in 50 years, if the Lord tarries, if the Lord doesn't come back, and He blesses El Bethel Church to continue forward in this city, if she is a witness to His truth, 50 years from today, this congregation will be completely different. Right? We're going to be gone. Some of these small children might be here, but we're going to be gone. But do you know that His truths aren't going to change?
Right.
His love is not going to change.
Right.
His blessings to His people is not going to change. His unbounded affection and love toward His elect child of God is not going to change. Aren't you comforted that He told us, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. What does that mean? Because if He changed, He'd have wiped them off the map.
That's what God
told Moses. Moses, I'm going to take you. This people is such a gainsaying people. I'm going to take you, Moses, and I'm going to start over. But you know, He didn't do that. Moses, as a picture of Jesus, stood in the gap and said, Lord, remember Abraham. Remember Isaac. Remember Jacob. Remember your covenant. Remember the promise that you made. And Scripture says, and God repented of that. Not in the same way that you and I repent today, but He changed. He changed from that thought that He had. Now, you see, Brother Jerry, God doesn't change. His love doesn't change. Aren't you thankful for that? Everything toward His people, brethren, His promises in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Six cities of refuge. And I'll submit to you this morning, there's one that's still there today. It's the seventh one. It's the seventh city of refuge, which is in Jesus Christ. May we be blessed to rest in that. May that comfort us in our trials, in our troubles. May that comfort us in the conflicts that we face today, in the turmoil that seems to be on every hand, in the wars that seem to be on the horizon. May that comfort us to realize that our God's in control.
Right.
And that we have a flat place where we can flee to. May we flee to the rock.
Right.
To Him. May all these things be said to His name's honor and to His glory.